This is Akashwani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on provisions regarding corruption and economic crimes under Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita. The participants are Ashish Kumar Pandey, Advocate, Supreme Court, and Lalima Aneja Dang, Anchor.
The Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita, or BNS as we are calling it, is the official criminal code in India now. It was introduced in December 2023 to replace the Indian Penal Code, IPC, which dated back to the period of British India. BNS will come into effect from the 1st of July 2024. Well, for more on this, we are now joined by a Supreme Court advocate, Mr. Ashish Pandey. Welcome, Ashish Ji, to Akashwani Studios.
Thank you.
Ashishji, the government has been very much vociferous about corruption in the country because we have been disturbed by it. Now, what are the provisions of anti-corruption measures in BNS?
We need to understand that corruption is a special category of offence which deals with the corruption vis-a-vis public officials and nowadays with politicians as well. So, BNS being a general law is not that much concerned about corruption per se, but a broader framework has been provided under BNS. BNS contains a special chapter, Chapter 10, which talks about offences related to public officials. So two main provisions may be of relevance regarding corruption by public officers are something which is not expected from them. So first thing is Section 202, which talks about that public officials cannot be engaged in any trade which they are not supposed to enter into legally. And the second provision is Section 203, which talks about that a public officer cannot purchase a property or enter into any bid for any property which he is not supposed to or legally prohibited to enter into. So, you know, one of the reasons why these provisions have been brought into this BNS, and we are inheriting these provisions from IPC, so these provisions were there earlier as well. But the reason behind these provisions is you will find that in most of the cases of corruption cases, public officers are not engaged in corruption directly, but the mode which has been adopted by them is indirect way of doing things. So they will not purchase property in their name. They will purchase property. Let's say there is a public officer. Their department is undergoing this process of tendering. Or let's say there is a public officer, which is a department of whom is undergoing the process of auctioning of any property. So because they are aware of all the facts and everything, they are in the position where they can take undue advantage of that information. So they may not enter into that particular transaction directly, but they can enter that transaction indirectly through their relatives or friends or any company in which they have share or their relatives have share into. So these kind of things are prohibited under these provisions, but one very crucial thing to remember is that these provisions are non-cognizable. So obviously, just because a complaint has been filed with the police cannot register a case, but prior sanctioning of their department and cognizance by magistrate, all these procedural checks and balances are there so that the interest of public officers is also safeguarded. And apart from that, the special law which is applicable in India to deal with corruption cases is Prevention of Corruption Act, which deals with all type of cases like bribing to public officers, illegal act committed by public officers, or by any private person if that person is causing loss to the exchequer by indulging into corrupt practices or illegal activities. That also comes within the purview of Prevention of Corruption Act. And now after this Supreme Court decision, which has been passed recently, where they have held that even the politicians, if they are engaged in horse trading, that may also may come under Prevention of Corruption Act. So that is a very welcome judgment, and our Honorable Prime Minister also appreciated that now, because the thrust of the government is to ensure that there should not be corruption. Mm-hmm. So that is a good decision in a good direction. That's what I.
When you talk of public officials, has their scope widened now, as you just mentioned, the politicians? Yes. What else does it involve apart from, who else is involved, would be involved if we talk apart from the government officials?
To simplify it to our audience, I'll say anywhere where the public money is involved or the public office is involved, that will come within the purview of Prevention of Corruption Act. That is, broadly speaking. So let's say there's a government money, a public money, and anyone, even being a private person, does something with that money illegally, then that case can be registered under Prevention of Corruption Act. That's what we are seeing in most of the cases, like where companies are entering into this tendering process, or if they are influencing the decision or paying bribes to government officers. So first thing which comes under implementation is Prevention of Corruption Act. And the second stage is because a predicate offense has been committed and now they have the money, and the next step would be to launder that money, to convert that money from black to white. So the Prevention of Money Laundering Act's provisions are also attracted.
Let's talk about the economic offense. We have an economic offense wing as well. Is the government geared up to deal with the economic offenses? And what kind of economic offenses does one see? And what are the laws to deal with it, broadly speaking?
Broadly speaking, we can categorize two sets of laws to deal with economic offenses. And when we define these categories, we should also keep in mind that with the development of the country and with the evolution of technology, the nature paradigm of crime has also evolved. Well, the first category is the general law. Till date, the general law which was applicable in country is Indian Penal Code, IPC. And now from 1st July onwards, we will have Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita, BNS. Then in this particular general law, we have very common financial crimes like fraud, cheating, criminal breach of trust, etc., etc. While the other category of laws is to deal with special sets of crimes, like obviously when a public officer is indulged into corruption, or if the crime of money laundering is happening, or if there is a corporate fraud which is dealt under the Companies Act, or a security related fraud is happening which is dealt under the SEBI's Act. So income tax, tax evasion, IT Act, Custom Act, GST, there are so many laws which deals with the specific instances of financial crimes. But as far as BNS is concerned, that provides a general framework and general laws are defined therein.
Ashish, we know that in the last 10 years, the government has been trying to do away with laws because they're about 163 years old, many of them. Now, about 1,400 laws have already been repealed because they were considered obsolete. My two questions would be that, do we have similar laws in the financial system, dealing with the financial system, which can be deleted? And secondly, we are now a new country. The country has leaped. India has leaped by leaps and bounds. We are now a new India, a digitized India. So we see a lot of cyber crimes happening. So do we see a convergence of the cyber crime section and the economic offense wing section? Because the two are linked. We often get to know about the common man being duped because he pressed a link here and a pressed link there, and lakhs of money was taken away from his account. A lot of these things are happening. So is the digitized India also going to see a convergence of the cyber crime and the economic offense wing?
You're absolutely right that with the advancement in technology, and we obviously live in a very interconnected digital world. So when we talk about cyber crimes in the context of economic offenses, so you will find that the cyber, when we say the computer or online, everything, now mobile phones are as powerful as computers. So everything, and we are in the age of 5G and Internet of Things. So everywhere, everything is interconnected. You will find that cyber is being used as a mode to commit crime. So if we say that cyber is a mode and the crime is already there, let's say earlier there used to be a similar just cheating, which was defined under IPC, and you know, all that has been contained in BNS as well. But the mode of commission of that crime has changed with the time. Earlier, that may be in person or physically. Now that fraud is being committed online.
Yes.
So it's very important when we are strengthening our laws vis-a-vis criminal activities concerning economic crimes, we must strengthen our laws vis-a-vis cyber fraud which are taking place in India. For example, the yesterday only I got a call from someone, and this is my personal experience, that my one consignment is stuck in Mumbai custom, and that consignment contains RDX. So I feel that being a lawyer, I was in the position where that didn't trigger the panic button in me, but consider if that situation, if that call, and that call every day, lakhs of that calls are happening. So they will pretend to be a police officer, and they will say that some illegal thing or contrabands have been there in your consignment. And then the chain, the sequence of extortion starts. And you, just few days back, I was going through a story where a high-ranking government servant was also duped. She fell for this thing only, and she had to pay a couple of lakhs to someone who was pretending to be a police officer. She was apprehending that I'm a government servant, and if something, even if complaint is filed, what will happen with my job? So if someone who's at that label can be duped, you know, forced to pay money by triggering panic button, then God knows what is happening in the rest of the country. So these kind of things are happening. As far as BNS is concerned, so these laws, these particular frauds have been taken care of. This forgery has been defined, cheating has been defined, everything is there. And simultaneously, BNS also contains provisions regarding cyber fraud, the cyber way of doing things. This is a right decision in right direction, and we hope that this will not only help our investigating agencies in tackling with these kind of situations, but also somehow create an awareness among our general public. Nowadays, we talk about digital swachhata. Digital swachhata is very important, and we believe that because of these provisions, that awareness about digital swachhata will increase in future.
We have a backlog of crores of cases in courts, and we really need to perk ourselves up and streamline all this. Now, first thing is, do we have the infrastructure to cope with the new system which will come with BNS? Secondly, is the training of personnel in place? Because this would require, implementation would require awareness, first of all, amongst lawyers, the police personnel, and the entire investigating machinery. Are we ready for it? Because 1st July is just coming.
Post-corona, COVID-19, things have changed a lot. But when I say things have changed a lot, I'm sitting here in Delhi, we are in the national capital. So obviously, things have changed in Supreme Court, things have changed in Delhi High Court, even in Delhi District Courts. But as far as the digital infrastructure, which is a requirement, the need of our, that we are still lagging, unfortunately. But it will take some time. I'm happy to say, we have a dedicated committee for that in our Supreme Court of India. Even the thrust of the government is to provide judiciary with sufficient money to create infrastructure which supports resolving cases in a very speedy manner so that this huge backlog is no longer there. We will see that in coming future, there will be drastic change in the way justice is being delivered. Even not only justice, but the investigation is being done. Even you see these criminal laws, new criminal laws, there is a provision now you can file FIR online. Now the investigation is that forensic evidence, how that will be collected, the digital evidence, how that thing will be collected, how things will be sent to court. Because if someone, a high-risk individual, a criminal, is in the court, we see the provisions that he can appear in the court through online mode. But now that online mode has been made available to everyone. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are certain things which can take place only through physical mode. But because this online situation facility has been provided to everyone, so we will see that the procedural delay. Delay is not only caused by legal technicalities, but the procedural delay which is being taken care of. And these three new criminal laws are a right step in that direction. But as far as the legal technicalities are concerned, we must understand that legal technicalities cannot be dealt with in such a manner where justice hurried results in justice buried situation. So we need to take care of a situation where there is no procedural delay. But as far as the legal things are concerned, evidence is concerned, appreciation of evidence is concerned, recording of statements of witnesses is concerned, all these things will take some time, and we should be patient with our justice dispensation system. In economic offenses, is there a situation where laws are required to be repealed? Very interestingly, if I'm not wrong, just 3-4 days back, there was a notification from the Finance Ministry which says that under IT Act, Income Tax Act, earlier there was a provision, if your tax, you have been found tax evasion situation, so earlier there was situation was like you have to pay penalty and the penal provisions were there. So now that notification or circular has come, that requirement of penal provisions no longer there, only by paying penalty, your case will be settled. In a way, that criminality of that entire act has been removed. That is a good decision, is the right direction.
Thank you very much, Ashish Ji, for coming to Akashvani Studios and updating us with your views on BNS. Thank you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on provisions regarding corruption and economic crimes under Bharatiya Nyay Sanhita. The participants were Ashish Kumar Pandey, Advocate, Supreme Court, and Lalima Aneja Dang, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.